Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
All right, here we go. It's time for the Friday edition of the Daily 10. It's your friend Matt back with you to take you on this 10-minute sports journey of ours. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the only podcast for Atlanta sports fans giving you all the news and stories that matter to you each and every day. I will get to the football weekend coming up shortly, but we start with the Braves, who wake up this morning with just a 2-game lead in the East, 3 in the all-important loss column. Unfortunately, the Braves couldn't hold a 7th-inning lead yesterday, while the Phillies came back from a 6-run deficit to beat the Pirates 12-6. So the magic number is still at 9 as the Braves lose 6-4 to Arizona. But they did take 3 out of 4 in the series against the Diamondbacks. That was the goal coming in. The fact that you had a 4-1 lead in the 7th inning yesterday, it was time to get greedy, and the Braves couldn't do that. The 7th inning from hell derailed the Braves' chance to sweep the 4-game series against Arizona. Charlie Morton was sailing through 6 innings, but he hit trouble in the 7th when he allowed back-to-back singles to lead off the inning, and then it just fell apart. Jacob Webb came in, and we've talked about Jacob Webb lately. He's pitched really well, and you wondered if he was going to start getting some higher leverage opportunities. Well, he got a higher leverage situation here, and it got ugly. He gave up a 3-run home run after Morton had given up a couple of singles to lead off the 7th inning. Webb then gave up back-to-back doubles, and it's 5-4. So he gets yanked. In comes Tyler Matzek. He allows a sac fly. It's 6-4, and that's how the game ended. So the Braves, who offensively started out well, they got a 2-out RBI double from Ozzie Albies in the 3rd inning to score Freddie Freeman. That was followed by another moonshot by Austin Riley to make it 3-0. The Braves would lead the game 4-1, as we said, in the 7th, until things got away. So now the Braves are in San Diego tonight for their final road series of the season. They will complete their suspended game first tonight at 8:10, then they'll play game 1 of their scheduled series at 10:10. Max Fried will get the ball for the Braves. So let's take a trip down memory lane to remind you where that game was on July 21st. On that day, when the Braves and the Padres played the second half of that doubleheader that got suspended, the Braves were 46-48. They were 4.5 games behind the first place Mets. Yes, the Mets. Since then, the Braves have gone 34-23. Meanwhile, the Padres, who were 56-42 on that day, have gone just 21-33 since. So they've really struggled. Now, where the game was, and it'll start tonight in the bottom of the 5th with the Padres leading 5-4. So again, it was a doubleheader. It's only 7 innings. The Braves will have 3 cracks at it. They're the home team. Padres will have 2 more shots to hit. Bryce Wilson started that game for the Braves. He's now pitching for the Pirates. Josh Tomlin pitched 2 innings in relief. He's on the injured list with old and unproductive. The Braves also got a scoreless inning that game from Jesse Chavez. And the Braves' 6-7-8 hitters in that game, you ready, were Stephen Vogt, Guillermo Heredia, and Orlando Arcia. They all hit in the 4th inning in that game, and so did Abraham Almonte, who pinch hit and grounded into a double play to end the 4th inning. So Jock Peterson is scheduled to lead off for the Braves tonight in the 5th inning, the home half of the 5th. Then it'll be Dansby and Freddie, the way the order is lined up. The other most interesting part of this is the guys who weren't there yet for the Braves. Jorge Soler, who will be available tonight. He wasn't yet a Brave. Neither was Adam Duvall or Eddie Rosario. Rich Rodriguez was still pitching for the Pirates in the pen, and Travis d'Arnaud was hurt. So Snit will have a lot of options at his disposal if he chooses to use them. It becomes pretty interesting and important for the Braves, who, again, 2 up on the Phillies, 3 in the all-important loss column. They need to find a way to, at worst, split this series, and who knows, maybe get a little more greedy because the Phillies will have three more games with the Pirates before these two teams will meet in Atlanta coming up next week. The weekend is upon us, which is the perfect time for you to go see my friends in downtown Woodstock at the Daily Draft. On Main Street, easy to find. If you want to find more info, you can go to thedailydraft.net. But let me paint a picture for you about the Daily Draft. When you walk through the doors, you will see wall-to-wall flat screens. And frankly, before you walk through the door, if you just want to order drinks, they have a walk-up window to grab those and enjoy a nice Woodstock fall evening. But when you walk in, you'll see the wall-to-wall flat screens, a craft beer bar, self-serve taps, which makes it super convenient for you to enjoy your football Saturday and Sunday or your important baseball, a chef-inspired menu with so many right answers for you, the boys, if it's a boys' night, if it's a, you know, date night or a family get-together. They have everything on the menu that you will love. And if you mention my podcast, The Daily 10, they'll take 10% off your lunch order today and every day, Monday through Friday, at The Daily Draft. Again, your promo code, The Daily 10, they'll take 10% off your lunch order. All right, one more note here on the Braves, but a bigger picture. So Austin Riley hit his 32nd home run yesterday, and we in Atlanta will push for Austin to really get a lot of MVP consideration. His lack of name value probably hurts him, which is kind of dumb because I've always said the MVP should be defined correctly. It should neither be a popularity contest or a statistical contest. But if Fernando Tatis wins the award in the National League or Shohei Ohtani wins it in the American League, then I'm going to just stop having these MVP discussions because you're defining the award for me as just a statistical award or a popularity contest. And both players are really good, but Bryce Harper is far more valuable to his team. So is Austin Riley for the Braves and in the American League, Vlad Guerrero. Those are supposed to be your MVP favorites. I've always felt we don't define the MVP correctly, which is funny because valuable is in the award's name. If you want to give it to the best statistical player, isn't that a Silver Slugger or the Hank Aaron Award, which was created? I look at the Braves, whose outfield was completely broken. Their team was scuffling for months and months and months. And yes, Alex Anthopoulos made moves to bring in reinforcements. But look at the seasons Freddie Freeman and Austin Riley and, frankly, Ozzie Albies have put together. They're far more valuable to their team than what's happened in San Diego with Fernando Tatis, who once again hit the skids late, also dealt with an injury. The Braves lost one of the best players in baseball, arguably one of the top three or four most talented players. They also lost another player to arrest. They lost their third outfielder to both injury and underperformance. Again, they were broken in the outfield. And the Braves haven't slumped down the stretch. Austin Riley has continued to rake. Freddie Freeman has done the same. And so is Ozzie Albies. So if it becomes an Otani, Fernando Tatis thing, then let's not have the debates anymore about the MVP. It's kind of a waste of time. All right, let's move on to the football weekend where the Falcons are 3-point underdogs when they face the Giants Sunday at 1 o'clock at MetLife. It's expected to be 72 degrees and sunny at kickoff, so timing is right to play a team like this rather than facing the Giants in November or December when the weather could be a factor. For the Falcons, still no Russell Gage yesterday at practice. AJ Terrell is still in the concussion protocol, so we don't know about either of those guys as we get closer to the weekend. But we do know two numbers the Falcons have to fix, and they have to fix them quickly. The Falcons are one of the bottom five teams in the NFL right now offensively in third down conversions, which is a problem for so many reasons. A, it puts the Falcons' defense back on the field more than you want. It allows them, in some cases, because you know they're third and longs for the offensive line that has trouble pass protecting to have to do that on downs that are easy for the defense to diagnose because the down and distance is passing downs. So having short third yard or third down opportunities for the Falcons is big. The Jaguars right now are fifth worst in third down conversions at 31.8%. Then it's the Packers at 31.6%. Then it's the Falcons at 31%. Only the Vikings and Washington have a worse third down conversion percentage than Atlanta to this point. That's got to be fixed. And the other one, and this is just dreadful, the Falcons have allowed opponents to score in the red zone 7 of 8 times, get in the end zone specifically. 7 touchdowns and 8 red zone appearances for the Eagles and the Tampa Bay Bucks. I mean, there's just no coming back from that. That will kill you. And that's something that's got to be fixed when they face the Giants and fixed quickly. All right, to the college weekend. Georgia remains a 35.5-point favorite against Vandy tomorrow at noon in Nashville. I saw a couple of numbers that I thought were intriguing. Not that this game is going to be close, but they're entertaining nonetheless to mention. Vandy is averaging 78 plays per game. So they run 78 plays offensively, which is 12th most in college football. So they like to play fast. But doing that against this elite Georgia defense, imagine how many three and outs that's going to lead to. That's a very dangerous way to play because you're putting your defense back on the field very quickly. The other one that should play into Georgia's hands, Vandy's allowing 197 yards rushing per game, which ranks number 112 in all of college football. They've given up 200 yards or more on the ground in each of their last two games, and it's coming at about 7 yards a clip. Now, while Georgia has gotten so much better at the deep ball, attacking you through the air, Georgia did rush for 184 yards. Last week, they were about 6.7 yards per attempt on the ground, so maybe this is a game where you do get more from Kendall Milton or Zamir White, or you work in Kenny McIntosh, because it should be able to be one of these pick your poison. Georgia should be able to do whatever they want through the air or on the ground. It's a matter of how Todd Monken wants to attack this Vandy defense. And finally, Georgia Tech is a 12.5-point underdog against North Carolina tomorrow night. That's a 7:30 kick from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is interesting to note, Georgia Tech has kind of dominated this series going back the last two decades. Would you have guessed? Georgia Tech has won 14 of the last 20 games played between the Jackets and North Carolina. Now, that doesn't mean anything specifically for tomorrow night. Again, Georgia Tech's a pretty hefty 12.5-point underdog. But as we've said all week, I don't know that they can win the game, but there's no reason they shouldn't be in this game in the fourth quarter, battling and fighting and building off some of the momentum they took, especially defensively, the way they played against Clemson, where they held the Tigers to 14 points. Now, some of that is on Clemson's issues offensively with their offensive line and the quarterback play, and Sam Howell's a different animal altogether. But be in this game. Don't be down 17, 21 points in the fourth quarter where you're just playing out the final minutes of the game. Build off that momentum. Play this game close. It's, quote, a neutral game, unquote, but it's right down the street from Georgia Tech. So this is a home game for the Jackets, just played in a bigger venue. We'll see what it looks like, and we'll talk about it all coming up on Monday. If you guys would, hit the subscribe button or follow this podcast wherever it is you get your favorite pods, and it'll be waiting for you each and every day. And we're on all the podcast platforms from Apple to Google to Spotify, you name it. You can find us anywhere there. I'll be on the radio this afternoon in Atlanta, and we're back again Monday for the next edition of the Daily 10.
Subscribe to the Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.